this is the week of Super Tuesday. And some of you are saying, well, so what's with Super Tuesday? Honey, that's when you go vote. And make sure you do go vote. Okay? It is a Christian, it's an all man Christian privilege or privilege to be able to vote in America. We have a freedom to do it, but let me tell you something, folks. If you don't go vote and you vote for the right one, if you vote for the wrong one, let me tell you something. We are in danger of losing our freedom of speech, our freedom of religion. I don't care what religion you are. We cannot lose those freedoms. They belong to us. We do not want to lose our Constitution. So it is very important that you go vote. Now, we have two congresswomen in our Congress, and one of them said this, don't vote for Biden. I'm not going to vote for Biden, but she also said, but not for her reason. She said, don't vote for him because he is coming along with Israel, and he's against the Gazans, and Gaza, you know, Israel hurt the Gaza people, and so she's against all of that, and she's saying, vote, listen to what she said, vote uncommitted. Uncommitted. What kind of a person would you like to have working for you on your job that was uncommitted? Or if you go to your place of work, are you going to be uncommitted? I told Niles this morning, there just must be a special place or a special reward, Niles, without a doubt. You have a reward for that, what you're doing. How many has ever had the job of care providing? I mean, usually it's one of your jobs. It just comes on you at a certain age or a certain time in your life. Something happened in your family, and you had to move into that. And it's very difficult. It's hard, but it's a blessing at the same time, and you wouldn't take anything for it. You wouldn't have it any other way. But Niall's brother is it a paraplegic? Quadriplegic. And Niles has stayed there with his mother to help with his brother and all they do. And he turns his brother every 2 hours. He told me, Pastor, I may have to leave a little early. I'll go turn my brother. Now, he's a contractor. He builds homes with his brother. They have a business in building and selling homes. But the man is committed. He's committed to his brother. He's committed to his business. He's committed to his family. And you're all committed to something. And so for a congresswoman to say, vote uncommitted, how in the world could anyone say that who is a congresswoman or a senator? Because they don't love America, that's how. So I'm telling you today, folks, it's very important that we keep what we have in America. And you read what these people are about, and you listen, and you understand, and you vote. Pray before you vote. And if you haven't already voted, if you haven't sent it in yet, we'll walk it in on Tuesday morning and make sure you do your part as a good citizen of the United States of America. Amen? So let's fight for what we believe in. I want to talk to you today, so that just led me up to this. The truth of God is under attack. The book of Romans says that the men today and women of the world, they seek to turn the truth of God into a lie. God's word has been established from the very beginning, but they seek to turn it into a lie. And I'm going to tell you what the brother of Jesus Christ himself said. Now, turn back to the book of Jude. It's the last book before you get into the book of Revelation, the very last book. He did fine. I wish you would bring your Bibles. I know you can look above, and that's good. But it's good to have your Bible so you get to know your Bible and you know where to find your chapters. We can wait. We can wait for you. Jude, the last book before you get to Revelation. And it's just like a little postcard. It's actually a letter. And Jude was the half-brother of Jesus, and the Bible says he is the brother of James. James was a brother of Jesus. Okay, they were half brothers. They had the same mother, but Jesus, his father, was God himself. Over and over throughout the word, he says, my father has sent me. My father has sent me. That's a truth. My father has sent me. Okay. So we know then that his God was the Father, Father God. And we know that James and Jude's father was Joseph. Okay. So here's what I want to read to you today. I may read. Can I read all I want to read out of this? Probably can, because I got the mic. All right. Let's look at Jude chapter 1. We'll see. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James. Okay, James was the half-brother of Jesus. So I want to tell you, just being the biological brother of Jesus didn't give him the authority to write what I'm about to give you. The authority that he has comes from being a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who we are, servants of the Lord Most High. So Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to those who are, now here he's going to tell you who you are if you have given your heart to the Lord. He says, I'm writing to you who are called, number one, who are sanctified. That simply means to be set apart. You're set apart. Called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. He says, I save you. I will protect you, I will love you, and I care about you. All right? Go to verse 2. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. So this morning, as you're hearing me read this word, he's saying, I just want this love and peace to be multiplied to you. There's another part of the word in Psalms 112 that says, he sent his word. And his word delivers you and protects you and delivers you from bondage. So if you can get to any part of the service and you can't make it through the whole thing, I would say just get there for the word, because the word will deliver you. It just, all you have to do is just sit right here and let me read this word to you, if I'll shut up and quit explaining it as I go along. But it's just so powerful. So when you read it, the word just goes over the top of you. It just comes and it can thwart anything that's trying to come against you and destroy and tear down. He says, oh, let me tear that up for you. That's what the word does. All right. So mercy, peace, love be multiplied to you. To who? To the called, the sanctified, and the preserved in Christ Jesus. Verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. He says, I was going to write you one letter, and I just wanted to talk to you about the common salvation. He said, because we are so blessed to know him. We are so blessed to have that peace and love multiplied to us and be protected and set apart and cared about, and to have all the blessings and provision that he has promised. And he said, that's what I just wanted to write a letter to you about that. I was just going to write that. But then he said, I found it necessary to put that letter on hold, and I'll set that over there on my desk, but I have to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to you, to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked. They were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. So now Jude is saying, look, I've got to change this letter, because I don't want you caught off guard. There are people slipping in through the airwaves on TV and the radio, people you work with, that will talk to you and try to cause you to deny what you know. Now, he says you cannot deny the faith that was once taught to all men. He said the saints brought this word to us. Martyrs, no less. There were martyrs, even William Tyndale, who wrote the Tyndale Bible. He died at the stake for his faith. They said his words in the Bible, he dared to say this is the word of God. And the Sadducees and Pharisees said that's so shallow, that is not the word of God, that is nothing. And they said, well, we'll give you a choice. You can either die and be burned at the stake, or you can wrap this Bible around your neck and die with it. He said, get me a rope. And they got a little rope or chain or whatever it was, tied his Bible around his neck, tied him to the fire, and he died for this word. Queen Anne, in about 1555 to 1558, listen to this. Queen Mary was a leader in the Catholic Church. And she ordered over 288 Protestant reformers to be burned at the stake. You say, why in the world would she, a woman of wisdom, worldly wisdom, Queen Mary, had a ship named after her later on down through the years through her descendants. Why would she do that? Because they contended for this truth. Now, if we go to the book of Hebrews, you would see it written to where the Bible says that the high priest, don't have to shed the blood of bulls and goats anymore. They don't do that. That was Old Testament. Jesus Christ came. He sacrificed his life. He died on a bloody cross. It wasn't bloody until he got there. Shed all of his blood. And the Bible says that when he went into the belly of the earth, he was buried for 3 days. That he went into hell and he took the keys back from Satan. And he said he took the keys, listen, to death, hell, and the grave. So he said, it all belongs to me. And then the blood that he shed, he offered it up to God the Father. And it was laid on the altar that's in heaven. The presence of Jesus, and the Bible tells us that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen? He's seated where? At the right hand of the Father. Okay, no offense to you who grew up in Catholicism or are Catholic. That's their faith. But this is our faith, okay? We don't believe that Jesus is in the Eucharist, okay? We believe that it represents his body and his blood, and we take it as that, and it is powerful. And he said, as often as you do this, remember me. But our truth says that the presence of Jesus Christ is in heaven with the Father. That's what we believe, and that's what the martyrs taught us, lost their lives, their arms, their heads, to get that truth across to us. And then somebody wants to tell us it's not. Well, we are going to contend for what we believe. Amen? This is what we believe. So that's why, you said, why did Queen Mary have all those 288 people burned at the stake? Because she didn't believe their truth. Now look, when the truth is under attack, guess what's going to be under attack? Our faith. Our faith will be. Because if you hear an untruth long enough, pretty soon you're going to believe it. What? Marriage between a man and a woman? Are you kidding? No, I'm not kidding. That's what the Bible says. That's our truth. You can't change that. You can't abort a baby before the baby is born. Now, if you've done that, you're forgiven, you're washed, you're cleansed, you're okay. You know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's so many truths that now are being changed. And when that happens, faith begins to change in people, and the church gets wishy-washy, and the church doesn't even know what she believes anymore. So that's why Jude said, look, I was just going to talk to us today about the blessings of God. But he said, I'm going to put that on hold because I need to tell you about these people that are slipping in and teaching untruth. Okay, so Jude wrote this about 30 years after Jesus died. Okay, so just 30 years after Jesus died, it was about 60 AD, it was already, corruption was already starting. They were already coming against faith, already coming against the truth of God, and the 33 years that Jesus spent training and the 3 years that Jesus taught, that was already under attack. So Jude says, well, let me just talk to you about it for a moment. And here we are down here 2,000 years later. I just need to remind you of this, okay? Amen? Okay, so now here's what he says happened. It's just like reading about this today. For certain men crept in unnoticed. Somebody say unnoticed. Things can come in and you don't even know it happened, but it's there. Who were marked out long ago, God says, I saw them, I knew it. For this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The people say, now, Pastor, if you teach grace, it might cause people to think they have a license to sin. Let me tell you something. We don't need a license to sin. We just do it. Nobody ever went and got a license to sin. So I said, no, they just go ahead and talk about the grace of God. And they turned it around where everything goes. Well, let me tell you something. Everything doesn't go. Because this has to be different. If it's all the same, then what good is it? Did Jesus die on the cross to keep us living in a world of sin? He said, I want to set you apart. I want to bless you. All of these things I said earlier. All right, verse 5. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this. These guys had just walked with Jesus 30 years ago. I just want to remind you that though you knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who didn't believe. And he says, oh yeah, I do want to remind you of this, that the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved into everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of that great day. The angels in heaven sinned and went along with Satan. They were all cast out, a third of the angels. So he's saying, don't think that if I cast them out, okay? Verse 7, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth and as example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So he's saying, look, this is urgent. I am telling you, this is very urgent. It's a dangerous place to be, to fall into the hands of a living, loving God. Now, he said, life and death is before you, so it'd be best if you choose life because it's good. When you're with me, I'll take care of you. And death and life, you could choose either one, but boy, life is a lot better. But then in the book of Hebrews, listen to this, it says we live by faith, and when you get to the end of the chapter, it says they died by faith. And when we lose loved ones, we're like, that's not fair. I prayed for them and God didn't heal them. Life and death belongs to him. Now you choose life, and because you chose eternal life, you live forever. You never die. Now this body, this old shell may die, but you won't because you chose life. All right, I'm going to look at verse 8. Here's what you see every time you turn the TV on. Likewise, all these dreamers, they defile the flesh. What else? Look at this. They reject authority, and they speak evil of dignitaries. They don't care. They will openly condemn anybody. Just say, I know better, and they don't. Now, these dreamers come on TV, in the news, and you're like, how can these people be so, dumb and still breathe? How does that happen? You're like, they're a breathing person. They're living, and yet they say some of the most outlandish, crazy things, and I won't even go into it lest I repeat what's being said over and over on the news, and it just doesn't even deserve to be repeated behind a sacred desk. And he said, but they speak evil of dignitaries. I mean, they tear their own parties down. They want to just tear down anyone that was anybody in the Constitution, our forefathers, preachers. It doesn't matter. Just let us cut everybody down because I know better. They speak evil. Now look at verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring accusation against him, a reveling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Now, did you know that Michael was the first class? I mean, he was the first level, if you could call it political, if you look up the meaning, political angel all over heaven. His name is Michael. And he keeps the politics, I'll say the government of heaven, okay? The kingdom of God has a government. And the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 9, down about verse 6, it says the government is upon the Lord's shoulders. It's upon his shoulders, the government. Heaven has a government. The earth has a government. But Michael was in charge of all of that. He's the only archangel in the Word. He's probably the one we're going to hear blow the trumpet when Jesus is returning. Michael the archangel. Okay, so it says this. You got these unintelligent people who dare to speak evil about dignitaries, or they don't fear anything. And it said, yet Michael, the archangel, the highest angel in heaven, whenever he was contending about the body of Moses, because God took charge of the body of Moses, and he put it where he wanted to put it. We don't know what happened to it. But nobody could ever find the body of Moses. And Michael knew it. And it said he did not even argue with the devil. He did not speak evil revelings to the devil because he had respect. You want to call it that? You say, did he respect the devil? No, but he had an office. He said he did not dare speak like that to Satan, but he did say, the Lord rebuke you. And when you say the Lord rebuke you, that has power. What a wise, wise angel. And yet you've got people today that will tell you everything they know about somebody to try to tear them down, to build themselves up. However they could do it. They don't care if it's a preacher, evangelist, a teacher. They'll say whatever. And you'll try to get people. I've seen it break up churches over the years. You get people take sides and take sides and take sides. Let me tell you something. If you listen to what's being said to you, listen to what people say. And if they get crazy on you or they get goofy, you hear what they're saying. And if they start putting their church down, talking about their church, their pastor, their brother, their sister, let me tell you what to do with them. That's what the Bible says to do, because they're not even as smart as this archangel. But they think they are. So they want you to know how smart they are and how off everybody else is. All right. So he says, no, we've got some contending to do here. And contending means literally to fight or to do battle. And so these people were martyrs. They gave themselves up for what they believed in. Many have moved away today in the body of Christ from the Holy Spirit and the things that the Holy Spirit teaches. I was in Macy's the other day, and this lady says, oh, do you go to church? Out of the clear blue. And I said, oh, yes, I do. And she says, well, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a pastor in Porterville at one of the churches. Well, what church? I told her. I said, well, honey, where do you go to church? You go to church? Oh, no, I don't go. I said, you don't? Why not? I think she's going to blame it on somebody, of course. But she says, oh, she goes, my faith is evolving. And I'm thinking, your faith is evolving? These poor people lost their arms, their heads, burned at the stake to give you this word that was spoken to us over the years by the saints. And you want your little two-bit faith to evolve? Are you kidding me? Do you know more than that word? Come on, church, you better be with me here. I said, no, no, honey, your faith does not have to evolve. It doesn't have to. Your faith has already been set. It's just faith in him. That's all you have to worry about. And if you don't like that church, we'll go to another church. If you don't like that one, we'll go to another one. But don't stay there and try to start trouble. Just go on. But don't be messing around with the faith, because you can't change it. It's already been set. Period, period, period. It's just set. We measure everything by this. Everything is measured by our faith. Whatever you're going through, measure it by him and your faith in him. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. But you, beloved, I love it when he calls us those sweet names. But you, beloved, you build yourselves up on your most holy faith. How? How are we going to do that? Oh, he says praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you pray in the Holy Spirit? Well, you can pray in your English or whatever language you speak. If you speak Spanish, well, pray that. If you pray in Filipino or have a Filipino language, you'll speak that. So he said you can be Holy Ghost filled and full of the Spirit and set apart in God and pray in English or pray in whatever your language is. But then the Bible also talks about an utterance that comes up in us. This utterance, and you don't know how to pray about it, young Isaiah. You don't know how to pray, but it comes up in you, and somehow these words came and you're like, wow, where did that come from? It's him. It's the Holy Spirit. And then we can also pray in an unknown tongue. So I don't know about that one. Well, it doesn't matter if you know about it or not. It's what happened in the early church. See, there was another work after you got saved. The Bible says in about Acts chapter 19 that Paul, after he got saved, I mean, he was a murderous guy. We won't even go into that. But Paul went down there and he sees a man named Apollos. And the Bible says that Apollos was very polished. He was a devout man of God. And he was saved. And he was righteous. And he was a good man. And he was full of faith. And he walked in the glory of the Lord. And yet Paul walked up to him and said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, a lot of people today, if you dare say that to them, they would flip out all over you right there. Like, what? I'm saved. I received the Holy Spirit when I got saved. Paul says, yeah, I know you're devout. Holy and all that. He didn't say that to him, but the man says, what? No, he said, I'm just asking you a question. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Or Paul said, the Holy Ghost, since you were saved. And Apollos says, there's some people around him, and he says, wow, we haven't even heard if there was anything such as the Holy Spirit. We didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. Can we have him? Well, we received the Holy Spirit. Yes, we did. Jesus lives in our hearts by faith, by the Holy Spirit. He does. And yet there's another work called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when the baptism of the Spirit came upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, they all spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You say, well, a lot of the tongues I hear sounds just alike. That's funny. Well, I hear most of our English sounds just alike. You Spanish-speaking people, I hear you. I was in a restaurant the other day with Parker. These two older women were sitting behind me. And I'm telling you, those women sounded like they were talking 150 miles an hour. And they were older Mexican women. So they left, and finally the waitress comes back over to my table, and I said, honey, let me ask you a personal question. Sure. I said, listen, those sweet little women that sat behind me, were they talking as fast as it sounded? Were they really talking fast? I said, I don't know how they understood each other. They were going so fast. She said, yeah, they talked pretty fast in Spanish, pretty fast. Faster than us, faster than me for sure. But so however you talk. So what's wrong if speaking in tongues may sound like somebody else? Get over it. You speak English. We may have a little different dialect between Southern and Northern and Native Californians. But whatever. Okay, so we can pray in the Holy Ghost. He says, now the reason you need to pray in the Holy Ghost is so you can build yourself up and strengthen yourself and get strong in your faith. See, God doesn't want us a bunch of little weaklings running around. Ooh, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. All Art knew when he was laying there was Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. He was scared, too. There was fear in the man of God. Nothing wrong with that. But he had one name on his lips. And so he said, the reason you need to pray in the Holy Ghost, whether it's in English or your native language, or the utterance comes up out of you, or in tongues, the reason you need to is so you can be built up and be strong. Now, one more thing there in verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, keep yourself in the love of God. Don't worry about everybody else. Just keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Having compassion, making a difference. Look at verse 24, and we'll quit. And to him who is able to keep you from, the old King James says, falling. To him that's able to keep you from stumbling or falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory and exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And the Bible tells us that he will always be the same. But you and I live in a world where there is such rebellion out here. It's rebellion against authority, the kids at school. You've talked to teachers. You know they can't do anything. These girls were telling me, Gene and Sharon were telling me, they were walking out of Marshall's or Kohl's the other day. And here comes this lady, and she's like this, and she has a ton of clothes over her arms. I mean, just she can't even hardly carry them. These clothes are all over her. She had the undignified boldness to get those clothes off the rack, never looked at the registers, and walked right out the front door There was a car waiting for her. He picked her up, and she had stolen those clothes. Well, like a good citizen, one of the ladies jotted down a license number. The other one said, I'll just get a picture. Well, they thought they were doing a great deed. They go over to the register and said, look, those people just took a whole pile of clothes out of here. Nothing we can do. Well, I've got their license number. No, we can't call the police on them. Nothing we can do. I'm telling you, we're in a crazy age right now. So that's why Mr. Jude said, look, you've got to contend for your faith. And you're going to have to, church, listen, contend for America. You must contend for what you know. Listen, contend for your marriage. Pay attention to what's going on. At work, with text. Well, we don't look at each other's text. Are you kidding? You should. No, you don't have no hidden email addresses. No. If your phone goes off, Susie can pick it up and look at it. If his goes off, she can. You know, it should be really open relationship. Contend for your marriage. Contend for your children. Contend for who you are. Contend for your church. I'm going to tell you something. I contend and I don't care. And you can't care. Because you're a special person all by yourself. You're in concert all by yourself. There is no one else just like you. Nobody has your family. No one has your friends. You've got this own circle. And you've got to contend for who you are. But we can all contend for our nation and our faith. Amen. Stand with me today. Wonderful Jesus. Oh, my. Well, look, if Jude said, and I just read it to you, it said, to the God, our Father and Lord, He will keep us from falling. He will keep us from stumbling. Now, if He can keep us from that, wouldn't that tell you that there's a chance that we could fall? Just the fact that He said He will keep you from that means you can. You get mixed up with the wrong people, run with the wrong friends. You guys in high school, college, be really careful. You who are marrying age, be careful about the people you date. Because you could wound up marrying them. Maybe the wrong one. Save yourself a lot of trouble. Make sure you get the right one. Father, help us to know how to contend for those that we love. Help us to learn to contend for ourselves. Our own mind, our own heart, our own love. Father, I pray that you will show the men, not just the ladies, that they are the priest in their home and they must contend for their wife and their children. For there is a blessing that must come out of the father's mouth over his home. Fathers, if you begin to contend over your home and what God has given you, everything in your life will change. But it won't change, men, until you contend for it. You say, well, my wife's a prayer warrior. You don't have to be a warrior. Just bless them and pray and ask God to help. Mothers, there's a responsibility with you, of course, to pray over your family, to pray over your husband while he's at work, to pray over him when he comes home. You bless your husband. Bless him. Bless your children. Father, we contend. We contend. There's a real evil world, Lord. There's a real devil, and yet there's a real God. We have a real Christ living within us, and we really do need the help of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to give us that power, that unction, the grace and the mercy and the love that we need to do what we do. So help us, Lord. Now we know that, Lord, we're getting ready to change the changing of the guard in America. And it's important, whether it's senators or congressmen, keep your hand upon our Sheriff Boudreaux, Lord. Keep your hand upon him. Lead him and guide him. Holy Spirit, go before him. You promised you would. Take him to the right place. Protect his family, his wife, wherever they are today. Bless them and keep them. And Lord, I bless even our president today, our president and the former president. Lord, do not allow these people to take any one of them off the ballot. They cannot do that. We live in America. That is not allowed. So we stand up and agree today and fight. China will have no authority over this election. China, you will have no authority over this election. And we speak to the drug cartel. You will have no authority over the borders. China, you have no authority over the borders. But Father, we contend for our borders. We contend, Lord, for our nation. We contend for our churches. We contend for our children. But Lord, there again, we must build ourselves up with the power of your Spirit. Churches, lift your hands right where you are. Come on, lift up both hands. Lift up both. That just means I surrender to God. It just means, Lord, I surrender everything. Come on. I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my mind. I surrender my spirit. Lord, I contend for my own heart, my own life, and I contend for my children, but I need your help, Holy Spirit. Come upon me, Holy Spirit, right now. Fill me up. Fill me up. Baptize me, Jesus. Baptize us with the refreshing of the Holy Ghost. Refresh us that we might have that fire we sung about today. The boldness, the holy boldness, the power, the fire, the anointing to contend, to fight. Come on, receive him. Just pray in English or pray in the utterance or pray in tongues. Come on, pray. The devil don't know what you're praying. He doesn't know what you're praying when you pray in tongues. Fill us, Lord. Give us another baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, by the time they got to Acts chapter 4, they needed another filling. Another filling. How we need you, Lord. We need you. We need your power. We need your oil. We need your fire. We need your gladness, Lord. Baptize, baptize, baptize us, Lord. Full of a hosta. Did it listen? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. So good to have you all in the house today. Let me bless you. You be blessed this week. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his face and countenance toward you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.